Trustee from the Tool Room. A play adapted by Stephen Grenfell from the novel by Neville Shute. Trustee from the Tool Room.
Hello there, Keith. Can I come aboard?
Of course you can, John.
Whenever I come into your workshop, I feel as I used to on board ship when I had to beard the chief engineer in his sacred engine room.
You're my brother-in-law, John. This house is yours, you know that.
How's the job going?
Oh, no problem at all. I must say, it's a lovely jewel case.
Jo adores red leather.
She always did, even when we were kids. Well, this sheet of red copper will be the lid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that ought to keep the seawater out.
Oh, it will. I've left room for packing asbestos card all round it.
I see.
I'll braise it up with a small oxyacetylene flame, but I'm afraid it's going to get a bit hot inside.
You won't set the thing on fire?
No, no. I'll clamp the top down while I'm braising. What's the box got in it?
All Joe's jewels.
You're pulling my leg, John.
I'm not, you know. Only allowed to take so much cash out of the country these days.
I see. And, this jewel case is going somewhere in the yacht?
That's right, Keith. In some diabolical place where nobody's going to find it.
Well, I said I'd help.
Good man. I don't think there's much object in describing to you now where I wanted to go. I can show you the place when we get down to Hamble the day after tomorrow.
Still sticking to no sugar, Joe?
You bet, Katie. I've still got to watch my hips like a hawk.
Oh,
thanks.
I wonder if I ought to take some tea down to the men.
Oh, I shouldn't bother. They'll surface when they're ready.
Yes.
Oh, Katie, it's terribly sweet of you and Keith to offer to look after Janice for us.
We're going to love having her.
I'm so glad you can do it. I wouldn't feel very comfortable leaving her with John's people for such a long time.
Won't the Dungannons feel a bit disappointed?
Oh, I don't know. They're rather a pompous lot, you know. I shouldn't think they really want to be landed with a girl of 10 for 6 months.
I do hope she'll be happy with us. I mean, well, Ealing isn't a very exciting place. Not after what she's been used to. Never having had any children of our own,
Darling, I'm perfectly certain she's going to be very happy with you. And I'm sure you'll both spoil her terribly.
She's such a dear little thing. I was saying to Keith only the other day, perhaps we ought to get a kitten for her.
But you'd be landed with a cat for the rest of your lives.
Oh, well.
Janice will only be here for 6 months. Then all you'll have to do is drag her out to London Airport and bang her on an aircraft to Vancouver.
You know, I don't like the thought of her travelling all that way alone. I mean, will she have to change anywhere?
No, Kate, you should go right through in the same airliner, over the North Pole.
Oh, fancy. Is that the way you and John will go in the yacht? Through all that ice?
No, darling. You couldn't go that way by boat.
Oh, no. Suppose not.
No, we sail southwards into the warm seas. Hamble, Falmouth to clear customs. Las Palmas and the Canaries. From there to Barbados. Then to the Panama Canal.
Oh, those wonderful names.
Oh, I know. It's like a geography lesson, rather. And then when we get into the Pacific, we go first to the Galapagos Islands. And then to Tahiti.
Tahiti.
Then up to Honolulu. And from there to Vancouver. Ought to take about 5 months.
It's a shame John was axed. He loved the Navy.
Oh, yes, it was rather a shame. Anyway, you're sure he can get a job in Vancouver?
Oh, I do hope so. Will you have anyone to help you?
Not with a boat, you mean? Oh, no, Kitty, she handles easily. John and I can sail her ourselves.
You have got beds, haven't you?
All mod cons on board, darling. I sleep marvellously in Shearwater.
Is that the yacht's name?
Shearwater 4. Now, look, you mustn't worry about us. We're very used to it, you know.
Nothing on earth could make me sail to the other side of the world in a little boat like that.
No, you'd be as safe as houses in Shearwater. John's a real seaman, and that little boat will stand up to anything.
Yes, I suppose you're right. But if you're not used to boats, you do worry a bit. Anyway, I hope you have a really lovely trip, and you must send us some postcards from all those wonderful islands with the romantic names.
Go below, shall we, Keith?
Right.
Think you can cope?
I don't see why not. Yes, the hole's a bit oily.
A bit.
I think I'll chip it a bit first, clean it up.
Uh-huh.
And make a sort of rebate so it'll hold.
Good idea.
Then I'll make a bed of concrete at the bottom and grease the copper box and set it carefully in the middle.
It was a good idea of yours to enclose the jewel case in copper.
Well, you don't want seawater seeping in, do you?
No ruddy fear.
Then I'll fill the spaces round it with the wet mixture and cover it with a smooth layer of the mix.
How long will the stuff take to set?
Oh, I'd leave the floorboards up for a day or so, John, till it sets. It'll take a week to harden properly, but you can put the boards back.
What do we do when we want to get it out?
Well, you just cut around the edge with a cold chisel and a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably be able to see where the concrete's a bit different, but even if you can't, it'll sound hollow when you tap it with a hammer.
Yes, I see.
The top layer of concrete will come off easy enough because it's only an inch or so thick. Then, when you can see the box, you'll have to cut around with the chisel till you can get it out. You won't have any trouble. Shall I dry, Katie?
Oh, all right, love. I'll wash.
There's something I want to see on television.
Did you fix that light for them?
What?
I said, did you fix the light on the boat?
What light? Oh, the compass light. Yes, love, I fixed it.
What's it like on the boat? I mean, how do they cook?
Oh, it's like a caravan, Katie. They use Primus stoves.
What, with everything rocking about?
I suppose so.
It must be ever so uncomfortable.
Yes, I think it is. Oh, it looks all right when she's tied up in calm water. I don't know what it's like when she's out at sea and it's rough. It wouldn't suit me, I'm afraid.
Would water come in if they ran into a storm?
Yes, I dare say it would.
Oh.
She's decked in, of course. I don't suppose much would come in, though.
Sounds dreadful. Really, it does. You know, your sister was saying that either she or John has to be up on top to steer. Why have they got to go to Canada like that, Kay? I mean, they've got plenty of money. John's father being a lord and all that. Why don't they go properly on a ship or fly?
Oh, I think they just like sailing.
Kay, they won't get shipwrecked, will they?
No, dear, that's one thing they won't do. John's been a naval officer. He knows all there is to know about sailing.
Yes, Kay.
They'll be safe enough.
Oh, I do hope so.
But if you ask me, they'll be darned uncomfortable.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to go with them.
So am I. I can't imagine anything worse.
Get the altitudes I called out, Joe.
Yes, I think so. I mean, yes. Do you think that island was Real?
It was Real, all right. I think we're getting set just a bit to the north, though. You're still steering 240?
Yes.
Make it 235.
235 it is.
Well, we haven't done too badly.
Darling, we've done very well. 3.5 months out of England and we've already reached the Tuamotu group.
Yes. No more land now until we make landfall in Tahiti. Another 800 miles ahead.
Oh, that's an awful long way.
Things are at sea. When we hit Papeete, I'll take you out on the town.
Bless you.
Glad rags, lashings of champagne, soft lights, sweet music, the ruddy lot.
Come in. Hello, Janice.
Hi, Uncle Keith. Am I disturbing you?
No, not really.
What are you doing?
Well, you know I write articles for a magazine called Miniature Mechanic.
Yes.
Well, I write about how to make models, engines, clocks, things like that.
Oh, and you have to make them first. I mean, before you can explain how to make them.
That's right.
What's the machine that was sort of buzzing when I knocked on the door?
That's a Bowley watchmaker's lathe.
Oh.
I was turning a small piston for a tiny engine I'm making.
You're very lucky, Uncle Keith, to have a job that isn't really work.
It's work, all right, love.
Oh, no, you know what I mean. I mean, having a job that you really like doing, like a hobby.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Uncle Keith.
What is it, my dear?
Are you and Aunt Katie sad that you didn't have any children?
Why do you say that, Janice?
Well, I thought perhaps you were a bit sad.
Yes, love. I think we are a bit.
Didn't you want to have babies?
Well, we did, rather.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, sometimes these things don't turn out the way people want them to.
Anyway, you've got me now, haven't you?
Yes, indeed we have.
Well, for a bit, anyway.
Yes, Janice, we're going to miss you when you leave us.
Mm. Where do you think Mummy and Daddy are, Uncle Keith? At this very minute, I mean.
Oh, well, dear, I don't really know. Well, going by what they said in their last letter, now let's see. I'd say they must be getting pretty near Tahiti by now.
Oh, Tahiti. It's a gorgeous name, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Have you been there?
Good heavens, no.
Do you think you'll ever go there?
I shouldn't think so for a moment.
Oh, don't you want to?
Well, not really, Janice. Whatever would I be doing in a place like that?
Oh, I bet Mummy will love it.
I'm sure she will.
Uncle Keith, was Mummy a good sister to you? Well, when you were both little, in Scotland, I mean.
A very good little sister, my dear. Now, I really must get on with my hobby.
Oh, well, I am sorry, Uncle Keith.
No, no, now you just sit where you are.
Oh.
You won't be in the way at all. This job won't take me long, and then I suggest we both settle down and write a joint letter to Mummy and Daddy and send it to Tahiti by airmail.
I'll think about what I'm going to put in the letter while I'm watching.
It's a bad one, this, isn't it?
Pretty bad, Joe.
Worst we've ever had.
I'll tell you when it's over.
Perhaps we left England too late.
Oh, we're not as late as all that.
Anyway, we had to see Janice settled in before we left.
No, we couldn't have started any earlier.
Darling, are we going to make it?
If we can keep going like this, I think we'll be all right. It's doing what they tell us in the book, anyway.
Well, that's some consolation. How long before it moderates?
2 days, maybe three.
You don't really think we're going to pile her up?
I hope not. The line of islands isn't very thick. If there's any visibility, we should be able to run through them. Like a drunk crossing the traffic in the Strand.
Oh, we aren't drunk. A bit out of... Not, perhaps, but not drunk.
I'm sorry about all this, Joe.
Oh, we'll be all right, darling. You lie down, get some sleep. I'll keep watch.
Aunt Katie,
mm-hmm.
Shall I read you the last bit I've written?
Yes, dear, if it isn't private.
Well, it is rather. I don't mind if you know.
All right, then.
Uncle Keith says I must close now if we're going to catch the post. I do love living with Aunt Katie and Uncle Keith. They've been very sweet to me and they really do spoil me. But I do miss you both awfully, and I'm looking forward to when you send for me and I fly to Canada to be with you and stay with you forever. With all my love and kisses, your loving daughter Janice.
You write very well, Janice, seeing you're only 10. Mummy and Daddy will be ever so proud when they get your letter in Tahiti.
Do you think they're there by now?
Well, I don't really know, Janice. They must be, I suppose. Well, at least your uncle thinks so. Anyway, they're bound to stay there for a little while.
What's the wind doing, John?
Seems to be a bit more over in the west.
Oh. That one was a real brute.
Start pumping, Joe.
Right.
We'll take it in turns.
Did you think we had it that time, John?
I hadn't time to think of anything except getting her straight and running.
Darling, I've been thinking so much about... Janice!
Don't. We'll have her with us in a month or two.
If we get out of this...
We'll get out of it. Anyway, if anything should happen, if we buy it, the child couldn't be with anybody better than your brother and Katie.
Well, they'll look after her wonderfully, but... Darling, she's only 10. And they... haven't got any money.
Janice will have. We left everything to her.
But John, She won't have anything. We've got it all here.
Oh, God. So we have. There must be an island dead ahead. Listen.
Poor little Janice.
I think we're driving down onto a reef.
Yes. I think so, too.
Joe, darling, I'm sorry about all this.
It doesn't matter. We'll be together.
Now, Joe, I want you to go below.
No.
You must. I'm going to steer her off. I'll come below as soon as she strikes. When we strike, stay in the hull.
Right.
She'll probably get full of water, but stay in the hull. Just keep your head above water, but stay in the hull.
You promise you'll come down?
I promise, love. It's our only chance. I don't think she'll break up.
If she does break up, she'll stay on the reef, won't she?
You're thinking about the jewel case?
Yes.
The keel will probably stay, and the frames, too. Oh, darling, I'm sorry to have got you into this.
It's not your fault. Kiss me. I promise I'll stay in the hull.
That's my girl.
Since you telephoned me the other day, Mr. Stewart, I've had a cable I thought you might prefer to read here in my office. More privately, I mean, than getting the information over the phone.
Yes, Mr. Carpenter, I see.
It's in answer to the cable you asked me to send to Tahiti the day before yesterday.
Is it about them?
Yes. I'm afraid it isn't very satisfactory.
What does it say?
It's from the governor at Papeete.
What does it say?
Oh, Gordon and Carpenter, solicitors at law, etc., etc. The reference your cabled inquiry. A native's Kautaiva Island reports small vessel wrecked in hurricane November 19th on reef off Maricota Island. Bodies, one man, one woman, buried Maricota. Stop. Shearwater now much overdue. Making further inquiries. Stop. Will inform you accordingly. Stop. Administration Papeete. I'm afraid this news isn't very good, Mr. Stewart.
It's terrible. I never thought anything like this could happen.
Oh, we must hope it isn't true.
I'll have to tell the child, won't I?
She's 12, isn't she?
10.
10? If it turns out to be true... Well, she'll have to be told sometime, Mr. Stewart.
Yes.
I should talk it over with your wife.
Yes, I will.
It might be as well to wait until the news is more definite.
But you think it's definite now, don't you? I mean, you think they've been drowned.
Well, I think the governor in Tahiti believes it's definite.
That's what I thought.
Should the worst have happened to your sister and brother-in-law, you... You know the contents of their wills?
They wanted me to be trustee or something. I said I would, although I thought it was a daft arrangement. I mean, me, a man who was an ordinary fitter in the tool room only a few years ago, a legal trustee.
You may need a little help, and of course I shall see you're given it.
I'd be grateful for that, sir, if it's not putting you out.
Not at all, not at all.
Do you know how much money there might be?
Well, I've already gone into that. There are three bank accounts. I'm afraid the total balance is going to surprise you.
Oh?
£55, 6 shillings and 9 pence.
But that's daft. I mean, they've got more than £55.
I must say it perplexes me.
How much should they have left, approximately?
Well, Commander Dermot gave me to understand the sum would be in the region of £25,000.
That's about what I thought.
Come in.
A cable, Mr. Carpenter. It's this moment arrived.
Where's it from, Angela?
It's from Tahiti.
Oh, please let me have it.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, Angela.
Very good, sir.
It's about them.
Yes, it is.
They're dead.
I'm afraid so. The vessel which went aground on the reef at Maracota Island was undoubtedly the Shearwater. They have some of the clothing from the bodies.
That's the end of it, then?
Yes. I'm so sorry.
I'll have to tell Janice now.
Yes.
That you, Jan?
Yes, Uncle, please.
Come in here, Jan. I've got something to tell you.
Come in. What do you want to tell me, Uncle Keith? Is it important?
It is, rather. Come over here. Look, Jan, you know about boats and yachts.
Oh, yes.
And how they get wrecked sometimes. Running on shore or rocks and things.
Oh, you mean running aground, Uncle Keith?
Yes. Well, when that happens, sometimes the people in the boat get drowned.
You mean drowned dead?
It does sometimes happen. In a shipwreck.
Is that what's happened to my mummy and daddy?
I'm afraid it has, Jan. They ran into a terrible storm and they were wrecked.
Are they drowned dead?
I'm terribly, terribly sorry. But they were both drowned. Here, come and sit on my knee.
All right, Uncle Keith.
Darling.
Do you think Mummy and Daddy were frightened?
No, Jan, I don't. I don't think they were ever frightened of anything. They weren't that sort of people. And I don't think you're going to be frightened of things either, Jan.
Can I come and watch you make something in the workshop?
Why not? I'll make a bit specially for you. What shall we make?
Oh, I don't really know, Uncle Keith. Oh, you know the plastic duck you gave me?
What, Deirdre?
Yes. Could you make an egg for Deirdre to lay?
I think so. Let's try anyway, shall we? Now, first of all, though, what about some tea? I tell you what. We'll have a cuppa first, and over it we can sort out what kind of an egg we ought to make.
I thought you'd want to know as soon as possible, Mr. Stewart.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, as I said just now, these securities, totaling £26,000 odd, were paid into Commander Dermot's Throgmorton Street Bank in February this year.
And then taken out again, you said, Mr. Carpenter?
Between March and the end of May, checks were drawn by your brother-in-law in favour of a firm called Rosenblum and Frank, totaling nearly £27,000. This firm deals in diamonds, Mr. Stewart.
But what on earth did John want with diamonds?
Diamonds, Mr. Stewart, are readily saleable. anywhere in the world.
I see.
Before he left England, Commander Dermot asked young Mr. Frank for the name of a reputable diamond broker on the west coast of America.
Yes.
Do you think your brother-in-law took those diamonds with him in the yacht?
I suppose he might have done.
If he did, Mr. Stewart, it was highly illegal.
Illegal, sir?
Oh, it's illegal to transfer from Britain to a dollar area more than a certain and rather small amount of your capital.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
And dollars are very short in this country these days. If he did attempt to take those diamonds with him, well, I'm afraid the prospects of recovering them do not appear to be particularly rosy.
Well, we don't know how badly the yacht was wrecked.
A wooden yacht, wrecked on a coral reef some distance from land. I think she must have broken up, otherwise the bodies would hardly have been washed ashore.
Yes, that's true. Then it's only 55-odd quid.
I'm afraid so.
Well, Katie, my wife, she says we can manage.
If you'd like me to, I'd have no hesitation in approaching the Dungannon family on your behalf.
No, Mr. Carpenter, we'd rather you didn't. If Joe and John wanted to leave their Janus with John's Fork in Northern Ireland for 6 months, they'd have done so.
Yes. Anyway, Mr. Stewart, should you and your wife change your minds, I shall be only too delighted to try to assist in any way I can. I assure you of that.
No, really. You don't know what an honor this is for Sally and me, having the famous Keith Stewart of Miniature Mechanic actually in our house, having tea and scones at our table.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It was very kind of you indeed to invite me round when I rang up BOAC like that.
It's about that cutting you sent me, about the shipwreck?
Yes, you see, I thought, well, you being a navigator and flying all over the world, I thought that you could...
I could tell you about Maricota. I got the chart out ready for you.
Oh.
There's Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Maricota, about 300 sea miles more or less due east of Tahiti.
I see, Mr. Sanderson. And, these little figures?
Depths in fathoms. A fathom 6 feet.
Hmm. How much would it cost to fly there?
Flying tourist, about 300 quid, single.
Whew. I'm afraid Miniature Mechanic doesn't pay that kind of money.
Hmm. It's important for you to get there, Mr. Stewart, to tidy things up?
Yes, it is rather.
Hmm. Well, you could have a bash at hitchhiking.
Walk?
I have a heart. You remember Oliver Thorne?
He had a model of the petroleum locomotive in the Ealing and District Exhibition, didn't he?
That's the chap. Well, he's in Albatross Airways.
Yes, I see.
Well, next week, Albatross are flying a generator rotor from Liverpool to Honolulu. Now, the chief pilot, Captain Fielding, is flying the aircraft. If you see Oliver, he might be able to wangle you a ride with Fielding.
To Honolulu?
Well, why not? Only 2,500 sea miles from Tahiti.
Distance just doesn't mean anything to you chaps, does it?
Not a great deal, Mr. Stewart. Now, getting from Honolulu to Tahiti, that's the snag, of course. There's no airline, that I do know. But the DC-6B freighter that Albatross are sending on the job will be in Honolulu at least 48 hours before flying home. Well, that's plenty of time to inquire about sea passages. If you couldn't get yourself fixed up, you could always come back in the aircraft.
They wouldn't expect me to pay the fare?
Oh, these things can be wangled. Anyway, I'll have a word with Oliver Thorne for you. As you know, he's a model fiend like me, thinks very highly of your work. There'll be some accountant at head office, of course, who'll cut up rough, but if anybody can organize a bakshi ride out to the Pacific for you, it's Fielding.
Do you mind, Katie?
You've got something to talk to me about, haven't you, love?
However did you know?
Sit down, Kay. I know what it's about.
But how?
Well, if you will go talking on the telephone about places like Tahiti and all the rest of them...
At times you beat me. Well, you remember that day I went down to the yacht?
To fix a light? Yes, Kay.
Well, it wasn't a compass light.
I guessed as much. What was it?
Joe's jewel case.
Ah, that's why they only left £50 in their banks.
You make me feel a fool keeping it to yourself all this time.
You're the one who's been keeping things to himself. Now you want to go out there, see if you can find your sister's jewel case.
Well, if I did go, I could see to a headstone for the grave and, well, take lots of photographs for Janice for when she's older.
This is what all the secrecy about a free ride to Honolulu has been about.
Yes, Katie. If I could get to Honolulu, well, perhaps I could do the rest of the journey free, too. Or cheaply, you never know.
You could try.
You mean you don't mind?
Of course not. It'd be for Jan, wouldn't it?
The child deserves an uncle who'll have a go.
I've been looking in the bank book.
What?
I've worked it all out. You could take about £110, but we'd have to have money coming in by the end of April, or we won't be able to pay Jan's school fees.
We've been married all these years, and I still don't really know what you're thinking about.
Husbands never do. A nice pot of tea. That's what we want. We can sit down and talk the whole thing over quietly.
Chaps, this is Mr. Keith Stewart.
Miniature mechanic.
Not Keith Stewart.
Well, I do write those articles. I suppose you're a subscriber.
A subscriber? Are you kidding? Every engineer, fitter, and what have you in this hangar, Mr. Stewart's a fan of yours. Straight up. Yeah,
that concrete clock you did. Now, that really was a Lulu. Boy, I nearly drove my old woman right round the bend when I started on the concrete clock.
I'm glad you chaps find my stuff helpful. Knowing I was coming down here this morning, I brought this bit along with me.
Why, that really is something. Does it go?
Well, of course it goes. The carburetor's already primed. Here.
Have you ever exhibited that engine, Mr. Stewart?
Oh, I only made it up for research. It was quite simple, really.
Well, it's a marvellous piece of research.
Eyes down, I say.
Captain Fielding, watch it with him, Mr. Stewart. He's a fire eater, but he's the only chap in our outfit who can help you.
What's going on here?
Oh, Captain Fielding, this is Mr. Stewart. Oh,
glad to meet you, sir.
Don't you know we aren't supposed to run engines in the hangar? Well, start it up again if you can.
Well, she usually starts all right.
Well, I wish our engineers and fitters here could get our motors to start like that. Not badly balanced. What revs is she doing?
About 3,000.
Where did you get the dynamo?
Oh, I made that.
And designed it, Captain.
What about the magneto?
He designed that too, sir.
Anything in it you didn't design and make?
Well, no.
You men got anything to do? Right now, Mr. Stewart, Oliver Thorne said that you had a problem to discuss with me.
Well, if you've got the time, sir.
Well, I am a bit pushed. Anyway, let's have it and see if there's anything we can do.
I've never seen you look quite so excited, Kate.
Not even when you dragged me up the aisle.
Oh, really, Keith? No, you know what I mean.
Katie, I was flabbergasted, honest. They'd all told me what a tough fire-eater this chief pilot Captain Fielding was. Well, he told everybody else to buzz off, and then he said, "All right, Mr. Stewart, you're in. Get cracking on your passport, American visa, and vaccination certificate."
Just like that.
And then, well, it was almost as though he was a young kid. He said, "Mr. Stewart, I know it's probably an awful bore for you, but I really would appreciate it if you would give me some gin on that engine you brought along."
Did you?
Well, of course I did. You'd have thought I was doing him a favour and not the other way around.
And what's so strange about that? You don't seem to realise, Keith, that you really are quite a famous person. I mean, all those letters from all over the world that come to the magazine for you.
I love the Serpentine, Uncle Keith.
Do you, Jan?
Yes. I'm sure you come here every day.
Well, let's go and sit down, shall we?
All right.
Jan.
I know, Uncle Keith. You've got something to tell me, haven't you?
Tomorrow morning, before you're even awake, I'm setting off to fly to Tahiti.
You've decided to go to that place where Mummy and Daddy were drowned?
I want to see about selling the engine and, well, you know, things like that.
You're going to see Mummy and Daddy properly buried.
Yes, that's one of the things I'm going out to do.
Uncle Keith?
Yes, Jan.
You remember when you took me into your workshop and you made those two lovely eggs for Deirdre the duck to lay?
Of course I do.
Well, would you like to take one of my eggs with you?
Why, yes, Jan. That would be a marvelous thing to take there.
Which one would you like?
Or which one can you spare most?
Oh, no, that's not fair. You got to choose.
All right. The grey one.
Oh, good. I was so afraid you'd say the blue one, because I like the blue one best.
Then everything's just as it should be.
Uncle Keith?
Hmm?
Will you take your camera, too?
Yes, Jan. Yes. You can be sure I'll take that with me.
Doesn't seem possible. I mean, only 36 hours ago, we were in England.
Very good afternoon, Captain. I am Harold Yamasuki of Yamasuki Trading Corporation, Incorporated.
How do you do, Mr. Yamasuki?
We are agents for Cathay Princess, the tanker you bring rotor generator for. I trust you had good flight?
Not bad at all.
You arrive exactly on schedule.
Of course. This is Mr. Adams, who is to superintend the installation of the rotor.
Very glad to know you, Mr. Adams.
And this is Mr. Keith Stewart.
How do you do?
Mr. Stewart, I think we'll want to ask your help about a possible passage to Tahiti, if you can arrange it.
This hornet you made, Mr.
Alec Bourne.
Mr. Bourne.
I'm the third officer of the Cathay Princess.
Yes, of course. The hornet worked all right.
Since I got a bottle of American fuel, she's been going like a dream.
Yes, well, they generally put more ether in American fuels.
Oh.
If I were you, I'd wash out the cylinder with a light oil after each run.
Well, thanks for the tip, Mr. Stewart.
Gentlemen, your drinks.
Thank you, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Captain Davis.
Sir, would you mind if we invited Mr. Stewart aboard the Princess to have a look round our workshop in the engine room?
Delighted, Alec. In my engine room, Mr. Stewart, more model engineering goes on than work for the ship. Yes, when Alec Bourne here was trying to get that little hornet started up, they had to use the ship's main engines as a starter motor. So the chief was telling me anyway.
Oh, that was the fault of the original fuel, sir. Actually, Mr. Stewart designed the model hornet.
Did he, my gun? By the way, Mr. Stewart, I made those inquiries you asked me to make.
Oh, that was kind of you, sir.
Disappointing, I'm afraid.
Yes, so was Mr. Yamasuki.
No luck?
No service he knows of goes to Tahiti. Not for a month or two, anyway.
I couldn't get any joy either. There might be an odd tramp or two, but I don't know of any. Of course, you can fly from here to Samoa, but it's a ruddy long way round.
Oh, well. Thanks all the same, Captain.
Pleasure.
Sir, there's always Jack Donnelly.
Nonsense, the man's mad.
Captain Fielding says we're taking off at dawn, day after tomorrow.
Well, there'll be nothing before then, I'm afraid.
So, it looks as though I'll be in the aircraft.
Yes, Mr. Stewart, it does, doesn't it?
Who exactly is this man you say is mad? This Jack,
Jack Donnelly.
No, Alec. I wouldn't think of it.
Nor would I, sir, in the ordinary way, but... I don't want to get to Tahiti as much as Mr. Stewart. I don't really see, sir, why he shouldn't, well, explore the situation.
Who is this chap, anyway?
Well, he's an American from Oregon. A man with the mentality, I'd say, of a child of 10. His ship's a sort of sloop-rigged fishing boat, built it with his own hands. At the moment, apparently, it's in hock to the harbour master.
He sailed here single-handed from the United States.
And do you know how he did it? Got the air route between San Francisco and here and followed the aeroplanes. 10 flights and more a day. A bloody fine way to navigate, I must say.
Is he going to Tahiti?
Heaven knows. He's got no charts. Wouldn't know how to use one if he had. All he possesses in the way of navigation is a clapped-out X-War surplus compass and a kid's school atlas. It's got the whole of the Pacific on one page. And a pretty filthy page it is, I can tell you.
That's all Dodd Osborne had, Captain, when he sailed the girl Pat across the Atlantic, but he wasn't much more than a boy.
Yes, that's true. Look, Mr. Stewart, I don't want to stand in your way if you feel you want to go and talk to this maniac. That's up to you, but I think you want to be quite clear in your own mind about what you may be letting yourself in for.
Well, I'm grateful that you should worry so much about a stranger.
Mr. Stewart, your models kept half my crew away from booze, gambling, and women. No man who does that is a stranger in my ship.
Well, that's very kind. Look, sir, if this maniac, as you call him, were to set out for Tahiti, do you think he'd make it?
Well, yes, I dare say he would. Though how he'd manage it, the Almighty in his high heaven alone knows. And he won't split for the price of a pint, as we used to say.
You're a sailor, Captain. You knew my brother-in-law up at Invergordon during the war. Would you sail with this chap yourself?
I'd have to be as slosh as a whalebone corset. No, to be serious, Mr. Stewart, if I was absolutely desperate, and I'd had to be ruddy desperate, mind you, and I simply had to get there, whatever the risk, why, yes, I think I would.
That's good enough for me.
Now, for heaven's sake, let's have some more beer.
Why, Hanover! Honey, fill him up. Well, he's still here. I was afraid he might have taken off. Jack Donnelly! You aboard, Jack? I've got a friend I'd like you to meet. Jack! Show a leg there! Oh, remember me? Third officer from the Cathay Princess. The tanker you came aboard first day we were in. We had a beer together.
I got no beer.
Oh, we didn't come for any grog, Jack. I brought along a friend who wants to meet you. Mind if we come aboard?
Okay. No liquor on board, though.
Except possibly meth. Looks boozed up to the eyebrows to me.
Hey, what's the plan? The other day, a guy fell off that plank. Plumb into the harbor. Wanted to go for Bertha here or something. All he got was a swim. He wanted $7.02, and all the guy got was a swim. Hey, the trick is to tread on the bow off a pirate by the witch. And she goes for it just a tiddly way, and then the plank comes off the transom. But don't go yelling it out to every damn soul you meet.
Say, Mr. Keats.
Keith Stewart.
Yeah, say, Mr. Keats, where'd that other guy go?
Oh, the third officer, he had to get back to his ship.
Uh-huh.
I was told you built this boat, Jack.
Yeah. Well, the schoolmaster and Cushman set out the frames, but I did everything else.
Cushman, where's that?
Mouth of the Suez Lock.
Oh, that's in Oregon, isn't it?
Yeah, South Oregon.
Ah. You made a beautiful job of her.
Oh. I kind of like doing it.
I know. I like making things, too, but all mine aren't so big as yours. Here. Have you ever seen a little chap this size?
Hey, you made this?
That's a little generator set I designed and made for some research I was doing.
Yeah, I never did see such a tiddly little thing. Hey, it doesn't go, does it?
Well, I hope so.
Jeez! Making the electricity!
Yes, just like the big three-cylinder diesel jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen the big ones. Say, Mr. Keats, I guess this is the smallest little fellow in the whole world, isn't it?
Well, it's not the smallest engine, but perhaps it might be the smallest generating set.
Say, what do you know? The smallest generating set in the world running right here in the cabin of the Mayor of Bell. You know, folks would never believe me if I told them. They'd say I was nuts.
I don't want it to overheat.
No, sir.
Look, Jack, I want to go to Tahiti, and then out to an island called Marakota. That's somewhere in the Tuamotus.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bourne thought perhaps you might be going down that way?
Ma came from Huahine. And said for me to get back to the islands where I'd meet up with my own sort.
Huahine's not far from Tahiti. It's in the same group.
Yeah. You want to go down to Tahiti?
That's right.
Well, I got a bolt of sailcloth you could sleep on. But I guess it's kind of hard.
How much would I have to pay you for the passage?
Yeah, the harbor master. He wanted $7.02 when he came on board. And then, there'll be the eats.
Well,
and,
you any idea how much in cash you'd want?
Well, how much you got?
Well, $100.
Well, then, the fare's $100.
Done. When are you likely to sail?
Almost any time, I guess, Mr. Keats. I get sick after a spell on shore. There's nothing to it. Say, you bringing that tilly little motor of yours aboard?
This? Oh, yes. I'll be bringing this along.
Well, then I say moving any time you like, Mr. Keats.
Hello there, Mr. Stewart.
Afternoon, Captain Fielding.
Have a beer.
I don't think I will, thank you. It's a bit early for me.
So you meet your cracked and ancient mariner?
Oh, he's not as mad as they make out.
Then, Mr. Stewart, you won't be flying back with us tomorrow?
If you don't mind, no.
Do you mean this nut's actually going to Tahiti?
Anywhere, so long as it's away from here. He'll take me to Tahiti, all right.
Sure?
I think so.
Awful big place to see.
Yes, Captain Fielding, I realize that.
How much water storage has he got?
Well, I saw a 40-gallon drum on the deck.
And the trip's going to take how long?
About 6 weeks, at a rough estimate.
Then, old man, you're going to need a drop more of the old Pani.
Yes, I suppose we are.
And you know I shall now go down in the history of Albatross Airways. For the rest of my life, I shall be known as the bloke who flew Keith Stewart to Honolulu and let him take off with a crazy half-Yank, half-Polynesian fisherman on a dicey voyage across half the ruddy Pacific.
Oh, but surely...
I'll be besieged at Albatross by all the readers of Miniature Mechanic in Britain and torn limb from limb. Oh, well. Let's knock a couple of beers down the hatch.
Mr. Stewart, I hear you've decided to risk your neck.
I've paid for my passage to Tahiti, Captain Davis.
Has your ship got a motor?
No.
Well, that's one small mercy.
I don't really see...
I don't suppose he's ever had his compass swung.
Oh, I see.
Just keep your eyes open and see the nit doesn't put a bucket down next to the compass when he needs it most.
Oh, it makes a big difference, does it?
One hell of a big difference.
Then I'd best watch it.
He hasn't got a sextant either, has he?
I don't think so.
Nor do I. This man, Matt, though, looks to see which way... Mind your ruddy back now, you dark basket. We're trying to get the flaming generator aboard in one piece. This character navigates by tooling along behind aeroplanes. If there aren't any aeroplanes, he has a deco to see if there are any mangrove seeds floating around. If mangrove seeds happen to be conspicuous by their absence, he has a bash at that compass of his. And that's usually wrong, I'd say.
You won't put me off now, Captain Davis.
No, Mr. Stewart, I don't think I will. It occurs to me that perhaps a number of people are apt to misjudge you at times. I don't think you're the sort of man who's easily put off when he's set his mind to a thing.
Well, sir, I really have to get to Tahiti somewhere or another.
Ever used a sextant?
No. I've often wondered how it's done.
Well, now's your chance to learn.
I don't understand.
No. That's right. Drop the whole damn thing on his head. That's why we had it thrown out from Liverpool at heaven only knows what cost to the owners. Mr. Stewart, I've taken the liberty of asking my navigator to gen you up in the use of a sextant.
Do you really think...
I'm presenting you with a sextant, a nautical almanac and some charts.
That's terribly good of you, but...
You won't be an expert, but a meridian latitude would give you a lot of information. It's the easiest sight of all to take. You could learn to take one in 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm very grateful indeed.
He'll write it all down for you.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. Put it down, Mr. Stewart, to the many hours of pleasure you've given my crew. That Congreve clock now, that was really something. One of these days, when I retire, I'm going to have a bash at it myself.
What's your knitting, Aunt Katie?
A heavy sweater for Uncle Keith.
But it'll be summer, you said, when Uncle Keith gets back. Or spring, anyway.
Oh, but it's terribly hot out there, Jan. You may find it quite cold in England, after all that heat and those jungles and things.
Yes. Today I asked Miss Simpson, during geography, to tell me where Maricota Island was.
What did she say?
She said it was in the Tuamotus.
Hmm.
That's a group of Pacific islands, and that it was uninhabited and inaccessible, almost anyway.
Oh, she did she?
Mm-hmm. So, I was wondering... Well, I was wondering, Aunt Katie, if it really is inaccessible, how Uncle Keith's going to get there.
Jan, come here, dear.
Hmm?
Jan, all your Uncle Keith's life, people have been underestimating him. He looks a very ordinary person, your Uncle Keith.
He isn't.
That's just it, darling. He isn't. When he sets his mind to a thing, well, he gets terribly stubborn about it. And if your Uncle Keith says that he's going to that island where you're... Well, if he says he's going there, you can be sure that he'll get there, somehow or other.
That's what I think too, Aunt Katie.
You know, your uncle's quite a famous person in a way. He gets letters from all over the world. You wouldn't believe the places they come from. Canada, Australia, America, India, South Africa, Russia even sometimes.
That thing you got there, Mr. Keats, I seen on marine store windows.
It's a sextant.
Yeah? Tells you where you are, don't it?
Not unless you're better at it than I am. But I think it may tell us how far we've gone.
Is that so? Well, I can tell you that. Yeah, see them pencil figures on the bulkhead there?
Oh, I wondered what they were.
Well, that's how far I figured I'd sailed every day, coming from San Francisco.
Yes, but... How did you know how far you'd come each day?
My dad taught me. And each day, I'd figure it out.
When you got here, Jack, how did it compare with the real distance?
Well, tell you the truth, I never did get it all added up. Came out different each time. Say, where's my atlas now? Oh, yes, here it is. Yeah, well, now it says here... On my chart, 2,098 miles.
2,098?
Yeah, and when I pitched up here, a newspaper guy came on board and added them figures up of mine. What's it say there on the bulkhead?
2,237.
Oh, well, you don't go straight all the time. You get way off course, and that makes it more.
But you're only about 7% out. You allow 4% for course deviations, then your error over the whole voyage was only 3%.
Well, is that good, Mr. Keats?
Good? It's phenomenal, Jack, without navigational instruments and aids.
Oh, my dad showed me how. I guess the old man really knew.
Yes, Jack. I guess he really did.
Say, Mr. Keats, you are going to bring that little motor along what makes electricity.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't leave that behind.
Yeah. Smallest in the world, eh? That right, Mr. Keats?
Yes, I think so.
Hey, say, how long does it go on one fill of gas?
10 or 12 minutes. I've got a whole bottle of gas with me.
Huh? And we could run it every day?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, that's swell. Hey, say, Mr. Keats, you seen that schooner yacht up the head of the basin?
Oh, the one with the three masts?
Yeah, she is a three-sticker. I guess we'll board her before we sail and check up on our course, huh?
Shall I bring my charts along?
Oh, don't see why not, Mr. Keats. Can't do no real harm.
That's what I figured.
What can we do for you, brother?
See you, Captain.
Uh-huh. What do you want with him?
None of your business. Just tell your captain I got something to talk to him about.
The captain's busy.
You go tell your captain like I said.
Sure. Sure thing. You guys go up and wait in the jetty.
Mr. Keats and me, we'll wait right here.
Okay. Some guys just come aboard and think they own the ship.
Who are they, Ed?
A couple of guys see the captain, Miss Ferris. Won't say what their business is.
You haven't come from Manuel, have you?
Manuel? We've come to see the captain.
Well, don't you know Manuel?
Well, who's he?
Well, he's at the Royal Waikiki Hotel with his orchestra.
Well, like Mr. Keats said, all we want is to see the captain.
Oh, you're nothing to do with Manuel.
Nope.
You're a sailor by the look of you. Want a job? The captain might take you on. Though I doubt if he could fix your friend up.
Mr. Keats and me don't want no job. Just want to ask your captain about the course down to the islands.
Oh, well, sorry you've been troubled. I thought you were from Manuel.
Say, I'd like to see her with no clothes on. Wow, she'd peel off real nice, Mr. Keats.
Jack, I don't suppose you're likely to get the chance. I've heard she's the daughter of an American millionaire.
She's a woman, ain't she?
The captain will see you two guys now. This way. Name's Captain Peterson. Flying Clouds owned by Mr. Chuck Ferris. He's a multimillionaire.
You sick yet, Mr. Keats?
Not yet.
Come and take the tiller, then.
Oh, but I've never done this sort of thing before.
You've got to learn sometime. Hey, see that tiddly little triangle on the card?
Yes, but...
Well, just keep her about there. Nothing to it. You okay?
I suppose so, Jack. So far, anyway.
Guess I'll have a bit of a lie down below then, huh?
Oh, what will I do if anything happens?
Oh, nothing's going to happen. Not much happens at sea in a small boat. Mr. Keats, know something?
What's that, Jack?
I reckon we made 95 miles yesterday. Up to dawn today. Wrote it down on the bulkhead.
95 miles, eh?
Yep. Hey, say. Hey, look at that.
What is it?
Yeah, a frigate bird. That's the third I've seen.
But it's a gull, isn't it?
No. That's a frigate bird. Much bigger than a gull. Yeah, see his forked tail?
That
guy's going home someplace.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, that sort don't spend nights at sea. Yeah, they'll go way out, sure. But they fly back to land each night. Well, he'll be down by sunset. Hour and a quarter, hour and a half, maybe. Yeah, there's land that way. 40, maybe 50 miles. Just a tiddly bit south of east. Say, Mr. Keats, get them charts of yours out and see what land lies over that way.
I have the chart here. Let's see. Well, yes. Must be Hawaii. If we're on course, that should be about 60 miles away.
I don't reckon any old frigate bird would fly as fast as that. Say, Mr. Keats, reckon we're up to windward just a tiddly bit.
Good morning. Can I help you?
My name's Fielding. I'm chief pilot of Albatross Airways. If possible, I'd like to speak to the editor of Miniature Mechanic.
Oh, that's me. McNeil's the name. Oh, good Lord, you've come about Keith Stewart.
That's right.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Captain.
Captain Fielding.
Thanks.
Oh, Keith Stewart hasn't...
I'm the pilot of the air freighter which took him out to Honolulu.
Oh, yes, I see.
I thought you might like to know how he was getting on.
Did he get a passage to Tahiti, wasn't it?
That's right. Well, he got a passage of sorts. That's really what I wanted to talk about. He was going there on a sort of fishing boat, a thing without even an engine.
That doesn't sound like Keith. He's not really what I'd call an adventurous man.
Wouldn't you? Well, apparently he couldn't get anything better. We were all a bit worried about it, but he made up his mind and there wasn't anything we could do about it.
But it's quite a distance, isn't it?
About 2,400 miles.
Good heavens.
Sea miles, Mr. McNeil. Say, close on 3,000 land miles.
And you say Keith, our Keith Stewart, is seriously intending to sail that fantastic distance in a tiny fishing smack?
Yes, that's about the size of it.
I think you better tell me exactly what's happened, Captain Fielding. I mean, Keith is one of my freelance contributors, the best known. Miniature mechanic wouldn't be the same without him.
Jack, you can't just stop a ship that size. I mean, she must cost millions of pounds, and more millions for her cargo of oil.
I just done it, ain't I? Besides, Mr. Keats, she's light in the water. Discharged her cargo some time back. Here, you ask him, Mr. Keats. You speak better than me.
Right.
What's our position? What is our position, please?
Hold on, Jacob. God, there are a couple of crackpots in that cockle shell in the middle of the Pacific. And I don't know where they are.
Cheeky devil.
The electric megaphone, the lad left it switched on.
Sorry, no offense, sir. Latitude 02 degrees, 50 minutes north. Longitude 156 degrees, 55 minutes west. Got that?
Got it, Mr. Keats?
Yes.
Got it! Thanks very much!
You're
welcome, Mary Bell, and the best of British luck. You figured out how far we are from Christmas Island?
Only 74 miles.
Well, how far ought we to be?
About 250.
Hey, say, see those limeys still waving? Oh, well, guess we'll pour up a point to windward.
Right.
Now, I just knowed this morning when we saw that patch of seaweed we was getting down to leeward a tiddly bit.
The way you've explained it to me, Captain Fielding, the whole enterprise seems preposterous.
Yes, I'm afraid it is. I was wondering if perhaps you could help in any way.
With money, do you mean?
In any way. Suppose for a moment Keith Stewart were to lose his life on this fantastic voyage.
Oh, heaven forbid.
I said suppose. I would imagine that the effect on your magazine would be disastrous.
You're right, it would.
There must be some way we could help him. After all, he told me that people all over the world write to him.
Indeed they do. Since he left, I've had to cope with this correspondence myself. I've got it, Professor O'Leary.
Who's he?
A modeller, and one of Keith's most staunch fans.
Yes, but apart from that...
A professor of medieval literature at Ann Arbor University in Michigan.
Ah.
I remember he once wrote to Keith saying he'd been lecturing for a year in Honolulu.
Splendid. He must have lots of contacts.
Surely. I have his address. I'll write him by airmail at once. Well, you never know. He might be able to suggest something.
That letter I gave you to read, Molly, what do you think?
Keith Stewart. Wasn't that the man you had lunch with in London 2 years ago when you visited Europe, Cyrus?
That's the man.
You hardly stopped talking about it for months afterwards.
It was the highlight of my stay in London.
Oh, you men who make toys.
That Congreve clock he designed is no toy, my dear.
Well, the man's obviously in need of help.
And who do I know who's an admirer of his who can help? Dave Coulson? No, Indianapolis. That stockbroker's clerk in Toledo. No,
A farmer down in Maryland, Sam. No good. Hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Out on the West Coast and loaded with dough. All the contacts in the world, too.
Who are you talking about, Cyrus?
Honey, that timber millionaire I told you I met last year at the miniature engineering convention.
Oh, yes. Wasn't his name Hanser or something like that?
Sally Herzog. Mm-hmm. Told me he was building a Congreve clock, too. Long distance, please. Long distance. This is Professor Cyrus O'Leary. I want to make a person-to-person call to Mr. Solomon P. Herzog. I don't know his number, but it's in Tacoma, Washington. It's Herzog Lumber Enterprises, Incorporated, or something like that. Yes, it is the Solomon P. Herzog. Oh, operator, if you get through to his secretary, tell her it's about a clock. I'll take the call any time that's convenient to him.
Professor, this is a real pleasure.
For me, too.
Well, how are you making out with that clock we discussed last time we met?
Well, I got the tilting table and the escapement made all right, but now I'm finding the clock motion quite a job. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Well, more about the designer of the clock.
Oh, he's a great guy, that Keith Stewart. You know something? Whenever I get in any kind of difficulty about one of his models, I just mail him a letter and he comes right back at me with the answer by return of post.
Well, he's in a little trouble.
Oh?
I thought maybe you'd like to know. He was in Honolulu, but it seems right now he's somewhere out in the mid-Pacific.
Honolulu, huh? If I'd known that, I'd have flown across to make his acquaintance. Well, what kind of trouble is he in?
And I just got a letter from his editor in London. I guess I'd better read it out to you.
You do that, Professor.
Dear Professor O'Leary, you will probably remember lunching with Keith Stewart and myself when last you were in London. When you showed us the photographs of your Case traction engine and your workshop. I'm a bit concerned about Keith Stewart, who was very recently in Honolulu.
Yeah. Too bad, Professor. Okay. Anyway, I'll be calling again and real soon. My regards to Mrs. O'Leary. Okay. Goodbye now.
Julie! Oh, Julie!
I recorded your conversation with Professor O'Leary on tape, Mr. Hudson.
Fine, get it in type and let me have it right away.
Yes, Mr.
And Julie, what's the name of that guy that handles our business out in Honolulu?
Oh, Setchers and Byrne Incorporated, Mr. Hudson.
That's right, Paul Setchers. Okay, get me Paul Setchers person to person.
No, I've already asked Hannah to put the call in.
You have? Well, good for you, Julie.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson.
You remember when I was sick, Julie, and those damn medics sentenced me to spend 2 days home each week?
Very well indeed, Mr. Herzog.
Acquire a hobby, Mr. Herzog. Acquire a hobby. Okay, I do just that. And I get this British magazine, Miniature Mechanic. Julie, if it hadn't been for this guy, Keith Stewart, Solomon P. Herzog would have gone right off his trolley. Lucid. That's what that guy is, lucid and friendly. Well, now he's got himself in some kind of a jam, but not for long, though. Not when Herzog Enterprises are right there in back of him.
That'll be Honolulu now. Herzog Enterprises? Yes, Mr. Herzog is right here, Mr. Setchers.
Chuck Ferris.
Look, Mr. Ferris, I'm sorry to call you as late as this.
I said for you to call, Jim. Well, what did you find out?
Sure, I'm sorry, Mr. Ferris, but this thing hasn't panned out quite the way I kind of figured it would.
You mean that damn son of a Chinese dishwasher, Saul Herzog, won't sign?
Oh, he'll sign all right, Mr. Ferris, but, what he wanted was something kind of different.
How much kind of different?
Mr. Herzog wants to borrow the Flying Cloud.
Borrow my yacht?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. What does that nut want that for? To go sailing while he figures out the deal we've got?
Well, this is kind of difficult to explain, Mr. Ferris. Maybe you ought to put this on the tape machine.
Shoot, Jim. Go on. My memory's okay.
Well, Mr. Ferris, it seems that some years ago, Mr. Hertzon had a very bad spell with his health, and his medical advisor said for him to get a hobby he could do in his home.
Why, sure, Mr. Ferris, a fishing boat called the Mary Bell left the harbor here in Honolulu maybe 2 weeks ago.
Damn. How many people on board, Captain Peterson?
Two, I guess. The captain, a nut called Donnelly.
Yeah?
And the other was a kind of passenger. He was a limey who seemed all hell-bent on getting down to Tahiti. Nuts, too, if you ask my opinion, Mr. Ferris.
Nuts are not dislimeys by way of being a special friend of Sol Hertzhorn.
He is?
Yeah, and Sol's head up to hell about the risk this guy's taking going across the Pacific that way.
He hasn't got any dough. I guess that's why he went with Jack Donnelly.
Sol Hertzhorn hadn't got any dough when he started, nor had I.
No, sir.
Now listen carefully, Captain.
Aye, aye, sir.
I want you to get up steam in the flying cloud right away and follow the route these two crazy characters have taken to Tahiti.
Aye, aye, Mr. Ferris.
If you catch up with them, fine and dandy. If you don't, I guess it'll be because they've been shipwrecked or something. In which case, you just visit every damned island in the Pacific you reckon they could be on.
Aye, aye, Mr. Ferris.
But find this guy, Keith Stewart.
Yes, Mr. Ferris, but what'll I do when I find him?
Put my yacht at his disposal.
What?
You heard me, Captain Peterson. This Englishman wants to visit the Teomotas or someplace where his sister got wrecked. Oh, when he's been wherever he wants to go, I guess you'd better come straight back to Seattle. And mind you, bring Mr. Stewart with you. Sol Hertzhorn wants to meet him. And, Captain, I have a mighty big engineering deal cooking with Sol.
Yes, Mr. Ferris. Oh, Mr. Ferris.
Yeah?
About Mrs. F. Stathios, will she be coming with us?
My daughter, I forgot all about Dawn. She with you now?
Mr. Ferris, she's on shore someplace. I wouldn't know. Maybe the Royal Waikiki Hotel? Music with Manuel, Mr. Ferris?
Yeah, I understand, Captain Peterson. Look, if she comes on board within the next 2 hours, ask her to call me, huh?
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, tell her how things are yourself. And, by the way, my daughter isn't Mrs. Estathios anymore. The divorce went through. Dawn can move into a hotel on shore, or she can sail with you, Captain. Or she can come right on home. You tell her that, will you? With love and kisses from her old papa. But whatever my daughter may decide to do, Captain Peterson, you sail for Tahiti first thing in the morning.
Okay, Mr. Ferris.
Bye, Captain.
Goodbye, Mr. Ferris. What a soft old bastard. They tell me you boys certainly got yourself a real mess of trouble here.
Don't amount to nothing, Captain. Papers. Nobody ever told me we got to have all them papers.
We've been towed here to the quarantine anchorage, Captain Peterson. By rights, you really oughtn't to be aboard.
Oh, I know the chef to port pretty well, Mr. Stewart. I think you can forget about the summons, the bill of health, and the other things. I was able to smooth things over.
Well, we're both very grateful.
Oh, yeah, Captain.
You two characters sailing that fishboat all the way from Honolulu to Papeete. I'd just never heard of anything to beat it.
Jack Donnelly knows how to sail. It's as simple as that. In any case, Captain Peterson, what's the flying cloud doing here in Tahiti? The last time we saw you, you were tied up in the yacht basin in Honolulu.
Well, Mr. Stewart, I guess it's kind of a long story. I don't reckon I really know where to begin. Say, Mr. Stewart, do you by any chance know a guy called Sol Hertzhorn?
Hertzhorn? An American?
Oh, sure.
Well, I've had some letters from a Solomon P. Hertzhorn. He lives in Washington. That's the capital, isn't it?
That's Washington, D.C. No, Sol Hertzhorn lives in the state of Washington, up in the Northwest. I live there myself. You know anything about Sol Hertzhorn?
I know his secretary's got an electric typewriter, and I should imagine he dictates to her by the length of his letters. He's building one of my Congreve clocks. He's not very experienced, and so he writes me rather a lot of letters.
And you answer them?
Well, good Lord, yes, they all need answering. I mean, to an amateur, a Congreve clock is a fairly tricky piece of work.
Well, I'll be gull darned. Mr. Stewart, any idea just who Solomon P. Hertzhorn is?
Why do you ask me like that?
Sol Hertzhorn's the biggest lumberman on the West Coast. He's a multimillionaire so many times over it'd make your head spin. It seems, Mr. Stewart, he thinks a real lot of you. He knows you're here, how you got here, and all about the wreck of the Shearwater. And your sister.
For heaven's sake.
Yeah, Sol Hertzhorn's like that.
But it's fantastic.
Well, there it is, Mr. Stewart. Anyway, my boss, Chuck Ferris, is a friend of Sol Hertzhorn's, and he spoke to me long distance, told me to follow you, find you, and put this yacht entirely at your disposal.
But the man must be mad.
That's what I sometimes think, too, Mr. Stewart. Or, sir, as I guess I'd better begin calling you.
I can't believe it.
Look at it this way, Mr. Stewart. You took a lot of trouble answering letters from a complete stranger.
Yes, but then I
maybe
always...
Maybe some of them were stupid questions. I wouldn't know. The fact is, you made a friend. And boy, what a powerful friend. And now that friend's going to a bitty trouble to help you. Fair enough, if you look at it that way.
It's fantastic to go to all that trouble.
Anyway, sir, my instructions are to do just what you say. Go where you go. And issue you with a personal invitation from Solomon P. Hertzhorn to visit with him a couple of days on your way back to England. To help him with his clock.
Captain Peterson, could you take me to Maricota?
I already got the course worked out, sir. And I already figured out the business about the permit. We can sail in 30 minutes.
I'll be sorry to leave you, Jack.
Huh?
Where will you go now?
Oh, guess I'll head for Huahine, Mr. Keats. Over to the west, ain't it? Shows on them charts of yours.
That's right. It's only about 100 miles away. A tiddly bit west of northwest on the compass. I'll leave you the charts, Jack. They might come in handy.
Well, say thanks, Mr. Keats.
Oh, that's Huahine there.
Uh-huh. Hey, they think of something new each year. It's crazy.
I suppose they do. Jack, we've got some settling up to do.
What kind of settling up?
Well, the passage money. I owe you $100.
Ah, you bought all the chow. So I guess we're even, Mr. Keats.
The food didn't cost $100. Most of it came from the Cathay Princess, anyway. There's a good bit owing you.
Ah, you sail the ship half the time. I didn't pay you no wages. We're even.
I still think you're over generous.
Ah, nuts, Mr. Keats.
There is one thing, though. The good ship Mary Bell hasn't got an engine.
Well, don't need no engine.
I think she ought to have one. And, I propose to give her one.
Huh? You... gonna leave that? With me?
I'd like you to have it, Jack. As a memento of a wonderful voyage.
Oh. Smallest in the world. Say, I wonder what they're going to think of this in Huahine. Smallest little engine in the whole wide world.
Stewart, there she is, Maricota.
And those timbers there?
Yes, that's the wreck. Just past the Great Coral. That's Shearwater.
Can't believe it. I was on board that boat only 6 months ago in the Hamble River.
You can go ashore by launch.
Would it be possible for me to spend 24 hours alone on the island? She was my only sister. I don't suppose her daughter Janice will ever come here. Well, I'd like to take a lot of photographs.
Quite easy to arrange, Mr. Stewart.
And, if possible, I'd like to borrow a hammer and a cold chisel.
A hammer and a cold chisel?
Oh, the engine may be worth saving. I can have a look anyway when I've cut the bolts loose.
Yes, I guess perhaps it may be worth saving. Well, I reckon I'll go see about the launch and your provisions.
This is one of the duck's eggs I made for Janice on my lathe. The night I had to tell her about you and Joan. It's the only thing I've got of hers to leave with you. And, Joe, I'll do my best. I promise that. Oh, Lord, gee my brother Keith a bit of good sense. Goodbye, Joe.
Back, as you see, monsieur.
Indeed, Capitaine.
We're at the boy right now, but tomorrow I'd like to move into the quay.
Certainement.
8 o'clock?
Oui, it shall be so arranged.
By the way, monsieur, what happened to the Mary Bell? Oh,
she has departed.
Already? Where for?
Oh, who can say? Native boats, they come, they go. That's why he makes long voyage.
I know. I was his passenger on his last long voyage.
This time, he took a passenger as well.
A passenger?
A lady.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Captain. A lady from your ship. Mademoiselle Ferris, avec la tête châtaine, whom you leave behind in the hotel.
For heaven's sake! Well, what do you know? When did they sail?
2 days after you.
On a westward course?
That is true.
Chuck Ferris is going to eat me in little pieces, bit by bit.
The more I see of women, Captain, the less I know.
You can say that again.
At my age, it is better to stick to wine, huh?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Stewart, a real pleasure.
Mr. Hertzhorn, I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am for all you've done.
Ah, forget it. It was nothing.
No, it was a tremendous help. We really were in trouble when Captain Peterson turned up. If it hadn't been for him, don't think I'd ever have got to see the place where my sister was buried and put a headstone on the grave.
Only too pleased to be of help, Mr. Stewart. Julie tells me you want some kind of case shipped back to England.
That's right. It holds the engine of the boat that was wrecked.
Leave it with me. I'll have my agents take care of it.
Oh, thank you.
Say, Mr. Stewart, would you like to have a look at what I'm doing with your clock?
Yes, I'd like to very much.
Okay, let's go. Maybe I'm not quite as far advanced as I should be. You know, it's kind of fortuitous you should have been visiting with me to see just how come I can't quite get the escape in the way it should be.
You've made a very good job of the tilting table, Mr. Hertzhorn.
You really think so?
Indeed I do. It's a beautiful job. Well, how did you get the burnishing so flat and even?
Lapped it on a sheet of plate glass with oil and fine grit carborundum. Then I finished off with metal polish.
Ah.
Bobbins and armatures, though, they sure give me trouble. You know, 46 gauge is mighty fine wire to handle when you can't see so good.
I know. In fact, it's better not to handle it at all. It's so easy to get kinks.
You're telling me.
I made a coil winder for mine. Look, I'll show you what I mean. Give me a piece of paper. No, no. You don't have to make one, Mr. Hertzhorn. As soon as I get back to England, I'll put mine in the post to you airmail. You can post it back to me when you're finished with it.
Oh, that's real nice of you. Mr. Stewart, you're an engineer.
That's right. I started in the tool room.
You know Chuck Ferris?
He's the man who put his yacht at my disposal.
That's the guy. Well, Chuck and I are on the point of closing a deal.
So I heard.
Now, I'd sure be grateful if you'd look it over for me as an engineer, in a consultative capacity, of course.
I'll be only too pleased to, Mr. Hertzhorn, if you think my advice will be of any value.
I know it will. There's something about the whole setup I don't get, and I sign nothing until I get it all figured out.
Jan?
Uncle Keith!
Well, miss me?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, it's been horrid not having you here to make things for me.
Where's Aunt Katie?
Oh, she'll be home soon. She gets off an hour earlier now. She started doing that when you went away. Uncle Keith?
Yes, Jan?
Did you go where Mummy and Daddy are buried?
Yes, Jan, I went there. We had a stone made, and I put it up to mark the grave. I took a lot of photographs for you.
Thank you, Uncle Keith.
I'll take them up to London tomorrow to be developed. We mustn't trust an ordinary chemist with these.
No. Were they buried on an island?
Yes, Jan. On an island with the sea all round. Nobody lives there, you see. It's only a little island, and, well, there isn't any water for anyone to drink.
Can you hear the sea from the place where they're buried?
You can hear the sea all round.
Oh, I'm so glad. Mummy and Daddy loved the sea.
And, I left the grey egg with them because I thought they'd like to have something that was yours. I buried it just underneath the sand.
Thank you, Uncle Keith. Thank you so much for everything.
Come in, Mr. Stewart. Please sit down.
Thank you.
You've been away, haven't you?
Yes, Mr. Carpenter, just a short holiday.
I must say you're looking remarkably sunburned and fit.
Yes. You remember those diamonds of my brother-in-law's we were looking for?
Indeed I do.
They've turned up.
I see.
Yes. My wife, Katie, well, she was turning out the box room yesterday. She found a suitcase that she didn't think belonged to us, full of old clothes.
Yes?
There they were, in a little jewel case.
How many were there?
47. Here they are.
47. The exact number of stones Commander Dermot bought from Rosenblum and Frank.
Yes. Well, I'd better leave them with you.
Well, this yellow stuff all over them, this yellow gummy deposit, they haven't been stored in oil, have they?
Not since yesterday.
Yes. Well, you'll be going back to Ealing now?
Yes, I've got to catch the bank before it closes. Have to deposit a check for $17,000.
$17,000?
Well, recently I was called in to give some advice as a consultant on an engineering project.
Indeed. A very lucrative fee.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Stewart, you really are looking remarkably well. But considering the spring we've had, you must have been out in the sun.
I had a bit of a holiday.
An excellent thing to do. Tell me, Mr. Stewart, did you ever do anything with the engine which I was given to understand had been salvaged from your brother-in-law's yacht?
I had it shipped home. I've got it in the garden, but it's not much good. Not really.
I don't suppose it is. Not now. I wish some of my other clients took their trusts as seriously as you have done, Mr. Stewart. I think Commander Dermot made a very wise choice of a trustee.
That was Simon Lack as Keith Stewart and Enya Tawirta as Jack Donnelly in Trustee from the Tool Room, adapted by Stephen Grenfell from the novel by Neville Shute. The rest of the cast was as follows. Katie Eva Stewart, Commander John Dermot, Patrick Barr, Joe Dermot, Mary Wimbush, Janice Joe Manning Wilson, Mr. Carpenter Hamlin Benson, Peter Sanderson Frederick Treves, Oliver Thorne, Garrard Green. Captain Fielding, Peter Howell. Alec Bourne, Bruce Beebe. Captain Davis, Rafe Truman. Dawn, Nicolette Bernard. McNeil, Norman Claridge. Cyrus O'Leary, Eric Anderson. Molly, Isabel Rennie. Sol Hertzhorn, Robert Ayres. Chuck Ferris, Guy Kingsley Pointer. Jim, Wilfred Carter, Peterson, Peter O'Shaughnessy. Other parts played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Betty Davis.